Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's found in the 25th chapter, and we read verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. From the reproach of his people, he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's epistle to the Philippians, beginning at the 4th chapter, and we read verses 4 through 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now that at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret, facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry. He sent his troops and destroyed those murderers, burned their city. And he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready. Those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. Those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" He was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, few are chosen." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our text is based on one of my favorite readings of Scripture from Philippians chapter 4, which we read earlier. And I'd like to reread verses 8 through 9. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." This is our text. Take your arms out for a second. Place them on your belly and go. Now do it again, but this time go. Now you might note that while I'm doing this to myself, there is no violent reaction whatsoever. Several times, my children were bruised in their youth when they dared to tickle their father, as I have just attempted to tickle myself. You know, it's almost impossible to tickle yourself. Do you know that? I mean, if I said, and I'd probably get shot if I did it, "Now do that to the person sitting next to you," I'd probably have a couple of people jumping out of the pews. Why is it that we can't tickle ourselves? Well, you know, the brain is a marvelous thing. The brain is able to filter certain inputs that are coming into your body. And since you're touching yourself, you know, all day and all through the night, your brain has basically learned to somewhat ignore this or this. I can even tickle my feet and not kick you in the head. Well, if you were there. That's an amazing aspect of the brain, its ability to filter things out. I learned this also when I went to a college, Concordia College, St. Paul, Minnesota, right off of I-94 in the middle of St. Paul, along with about a dozen hospitals. You know what I used to hear every night, at least for the first couple of weeks, as I was trying to get some sleep those first couple of weeks at colleges? Ambulances running up and down I-94, 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. It started to settle down around 5 a.m. Do you know what it's like to hear an ambulance at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning when you're trying to get some sleep? I was a sleep-deprived college student for about the first 2-3 weeks of my college career. And then the brain began to do a marvelous thing. Suddenly, an ambulance could go down I-94, not much more than 100 yards away from my window. And it's like, did an ambulance go by? I don't know. The brain just kind of learned to filter all of that stuff out. It's amazing what the brain can filter out of your consciousness. And sometimes that's a good thing. But sometimes it isn't. In our sinful state, there's something else that our brain has learned to filter out. Good news. Blessings. Or to use the words of the Apostle Paul, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. If you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. What does God want us thinking about all day? Well, Paul just told you. If your brain is anything like my brain, it's not always easy to do, especially during this political season and in the midst of storms that we have gone through, this whole COVID thing that we're enduring. It seems that it's a lot easier for us as sinners to think about going wrong in our lives instead of what is going right. If you examine the meaning of the word repentance as it was first used in the Greek language, for some people, and I've mentioned this many times here at Zion, the actual meaning of the word comes somewhat as a surprise. The original Greek of the language is metanoeo, which literally means to change your mind or to change your thinking. I love the words of Jesus as he's beginning his ministry, as it's reported in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, first chapter. They wrote about preaching about the kingdom of God and telling everyone to repent and to believe the gospel. And of course, you know the word gospel means, everybody? Good news. So say that as not using the word repent, but change how you think and believe good news. That's not easy for us to do. I'm going to give you an exercise as you go home today, and you can even start it right now. I want you to think about the very worst period of your life. I mean, not just kind of bad, but just, that period of your life. Now I want you to think about something good that happened during that most awful period of your life. When I was teaching my classes on the book I wrote about depression, it was one of the exercises that we did in that class. There's a particular style of thinking which psychologists label as unhealthy. It's called mental filtering. It's that ability of the brain to block out good things and only to think about what's wrong. Back in the day when I was doing my classes and I would give out this homework assignment, I'd often be greeted with moans and groans and sometimes even anger. There was nothing good that happened to me in that period of my life. Nothing. So they would say. At times I thought my eyes would be scratched out just for suggesting that there might be something good that happened to them. But I insisted. And sometimes after about two or three rewrites of their homework assignment, they'd finally come back and tell me some of the most amazing things you'd ever hear. For one, it was a beloved puppy that they received in that horrible period of life. That was their one and only joy. And in fact, because of the love that they had for that little puppy, it got them through that horrible time. Of course, they hadn't thought about that dog for 20, 30 years. All they could remember from that time period was the bad. I remember one individual who always kept insisting that everybody deserted her during that horrible period of life. And about the third rewrite of her assignment, finally remembered that during that time period, while her dad was also dying, her dad, who wasn't a Christian, that some members from her church, whom she had claimed totally deserted her during that time period, called upon her dying father through their testimony with him, brought him to confess Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. So that when her dad did die, she might have the joy of knowing that he was in heaven. She hadn't been deserted, but amazingly, she had forgotten all of that. So overwhelmed with all the bad things that she just couldn't remember any good that ever happened. When you look at the cross from a purely human point of view, it seems that there's nothing good about it. An innocent man, horribly tortured, dying in agony, abandoned by all his friends. How can there be good there? But to faith, we see there's something else. Greatest good to ever happen to mankind. The salvation of the world was being purchased, that act of Christ. The depths of the love that God has for us sinners being demonstrated to the whole world. You know, a lot of people can look at the cross and not see that. But that's what the cross is about. It's about seeing good through the eyes of faith. Through looking at the different periods of our life, when maybe we thought we were abandoned, maybe we thought there was nothing good there, and suddenly discovering that God had not deserted us. In those moments, And though the times were difficult, though we were pressed hard, that in different ways, God was still there giving us help, support, lifting us up when we'd fallen again, and giving us signs that we are not deserted, we are not alone, and ultimately reassuring us that one a day, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the suffering that he went through, for the pain that he endured, that one day, through that sacrificial work of our Lord and Savior Jesus, our sorrows will also end. But not just come to an end, but to come to glory, joy, and peace that has no end. Sometimes during this often cruel life on earth, that's the only hope that we can see. The one thing that will sustain us. But what I have learned through the years, not only in my own life, but also in ministering to others, is that even in the times that you think are the worst, there are signs of God's blessing that are still present. But unfortunately, we tend to ignore that. As we all know, though a million good things can happen in our city, in our United States, in the world every single day, if you turn on the nightly news, what are you going to hear? Not all the good things that happened. More than likely, all the bad that has taken place. It's the focus of our sinful nature. It's what Satan wants us to do, is to close our eyes to what is good in life. To focus only on what is evil and what is painful. What we should mourn rather than what we should celebrate. But that kind of life focus does not aid us or bring peace or contentment. If you want peace in life, a peace that endures not just in this world, but will endure for all eternity. Heed what the Apostle Paul says. What Jesus himself was preaching. Repent and believe good news. Change how you think. Believe the gospel. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.